The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our risen Lord. Amen. And thank you for having me with you this morning to worship the living God. It's a joy to do that together. Now getting on into today's focus, as a child, I grew up learning good stewardship from my dad. He was always, can we just say, tight with money? but we always had enough. I mean, he grew up as the son of a poor family, an iron miner in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So he grew up learning, seeing and learning how to handle money wisely. And once a month, as he paid bills, he would write a check. One of the checks would be to the church. He would put it on the bulletin board in the kitchen, so that he didn't forget to take it on Sunday morning when he went. And it was in full view of me and anybody else who happened to be in the kitchen. And it was generous. And it shaped me. It taught me, well, from him, from that experience, I learned how to tithe. And now, as I've grown in faith, continued to grow ever since those young years, I've grown into a double tithe. And who knows what's going to come after that? Well, I'm still kind of with money, though. Well, that's a plus for my wife and a minus for my wife. It works both ways. My daughter, growing up, she's an adult now, lives in Raleigh with her husband. She has revealed to me that she shares an admiration for me and the things I've taught her through life. And she has said that has happened from her childhood through today, and now she's passing it on to the next generation. And in a way, that intersects our reading from 2 Timothy 3 today. That's where we're going to focus, is on our reading from 2 Timothy 3. So I'm going to repeat the first couple verses there. So St. Paul is speaking to Timothy, his protege. He's saying, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and from how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Okay, so Paul is writing that. He's saying, as for you, he's writing that to Timothy. Well, it's bigger than that. It's for us too. Okay, so we take that in to us. He says, continue what you've learned from childhood. And for most of us, I think, in our tradition, especially in our Lutheran tradition, I think most of us came to faith as children or were exposed to it anyhow. So this is applying to us. And he says, be acquainted with the sacred writings. So he's talking about Scripture. And in that context of Paul writing to Timothy, he's talking about the Old Testament.
because the New Testament had not been put together at that point, although these exact words coming out of Paul's pen are to be the New Testament. But ultimately, verse 15 that we read a minute ago is what this is all about. It's about salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning, right? Because we believe that, we trust that. We are receiving that salvation in Christ. That's our hope. That's the gospel of God. That's the good news, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save God's people. And the big point of this right now is that God's word in Scripture points us to Jesus Christ. That's what we're reading about this morning. That's where we learn about salvation by faith in Him. So this scripture that we're looking at, and we're looking at the second lesson today from 2 Timothy 3 and 4. It's a teaching about the Word of God, and it's for us, not just for Timothy. So look again at that passage. Verses 16 and 17 goes, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Okay? All scripture is breathed out by God. Other translations use a different phrase for breathed out. Any idea what that is? Inspired? Yeah, it seems like it's, is it in or is it out? But basically, it's about our living breath. Scripture gives us life. It's the living breath. Scripture is inspired by God to work within us. And he writes, it's profitable for teaching. Okay, a lot of that teaching happens in a Sunday school class. I was going to talk about Sunday school, but I heard it was canceled today. But anyhow, come back next week for that, to receive teaching about the Word of God. Teaching also comes in personal study, small groups. There's a thing that was been taught in the NALC a number of years ago as the discipleship emphasis was taking roots. And you probably are aware of that here. Discipleship triads and quads. Do you know that phrase? What that's about is getting maybe three people together or four people together to study the Word of God together. And not having a stand-up teacher in front of them, but the three or four of them getting together, praying to God together, talking together about it, and letting that Word sink into each of their hearts together. And that's such an important way of learning God's Word. So that's just another way of where Jesus says that God's Word is profitable for teaching. It's in small groups like that. Also, home groups here at Christ's. Do you have home groups that meet regularly to study God's Word, to be social together? Some churches call them life groups and meet here at the church, but grow together in life, sharing life together and learning God's Word at the same time. And when that happens, God's Word of Scripture is right in the center of these relationships. And that's why Jesus or Paul can say this is profitable for teaching. And he also says reproof. What does reproof mean? What does that word mean? Reproof. Well, one definition says it's the expression of blame or disapproval. Or maybe a one-word definition of reproof would be rebuke. Okay, so that's coming from this passage right here. Does God's word blame you? Does God's word rebuke you? Well, it does for me, and I would say it would for you, provided you read it and hear it and take it in and let God speak to you through his word in that way. So reproof meaning he's saying, you're messing up right here. In life, you're messing up. And then he says that the next part of it is correction. Okay, so after God's word teaches us we've gone astray, His word will say, here's how you get back on track. Here's how you receive my correction, is what God says. So we do receive correction if we actually learn from his teaching, from this inspired word that's coming to us. And then finally, he says, training in righteousness. What does that mean? It means holy living. Living life as a follower of Jesus. And then in verse 17, he writes, as a man of God, or he refers to him saying, man of God. Man, is it only for men? Mm-mm. No, actually, the word that was used in Greek comes from a Hebrew word that literally means messenger of God. Okay, so he's not lifting up a gender one way or the other. Our culture gets confused about gender sometimes. But anyhow, no, Jesus or Paul is talking about messenger of God. And we can each be a messenger of God. It's about the messenger doing what? Sharing God's message of salvation by faith in Jesus. Salvation by faith in Jesus. And so then, as we do that, we are equipped for every good work. And I'll lift up three of those ways, being equipped for every good work. One, social ministry. And I know I saw on your calendar, in your bulletin, about food pantry ministry. How does that work here? Do you collect food here? Do you actually feed people here on site? I don't know how it works here. I've been a part of food ministries before, but that's a part of doing God's good work in the world. Another part is personal ministry to help somebody. So you don't have to be gathering with the church to do it. Just one-on-one, you can reach out and help somebody in the name of Jesus. It's good if you mention his name as you're doing it, but even if his name's just in your head and in your heart, you know you're doing it for Jesus. So that's another way of being equipped to do good work in the world. And another way is evangelism, where you actually tell somebody about Jesus. He lifts that up as an important task. Okay? Well, that was at the end of chapter 3. We're going to continue on into chapter 4 from 2 Timothy. And I'm just going to reread verses 1 through 5 again. You can listen carefully or you can follow along in your bulletin. But verses 1 through 5, Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and they'll wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So this is the advice that Paul is continuing to give to Timothy. In verse 1, he says, well, he refers to Jesus Christ as a judge. Let me just say, he is the eternal judge. Is that good for us if he's the judge? Yes, it is, provided he finds us in faith in him. For any person who is not in faith in Jesus, it doesn't turn out so good. But he is the judge. He will make that determination. That will he find us in faith in him or not? Verse 2, Paul writes, preach the word. So he's preaching to Timothy. He's writing this letter to Timothy, but it's also to us in the church today. So let me ask you, are you a preacher? You can be. When you share the word of Jesus Christ with another person, you're being a preacher. when you're sharing the word of Jesus Christ with them, so they don't meet a bad judgment in eternity. That's a good thing. So be ready to share. So even though each of us is not Timothy, we're called to share Jesus with the people around us. So be ready. Do that. Now, as we're thinking about sharing with other people, in verse 3, he mentions some people have itching ears. What does itching ears mean? It's not a physical thing. It's the temptation of a person to turn away from the truth of Jesus Christ, turn to something else because they think they might like that better. Human beings have that problem. They have that itching ears, to turn to something else, thinking it might be more satisfying, might be more interesting. What are some of the something else's in today's culture all around us? There's a lot of them. One gets my attention is the sexual norms in our culture, in our society. I mentioned before gender definition. So much confusion going on about that. Sanctity of life. That's something that God speaks to in his word, and it applies to us in this generation. Sanctity of life. There's so many murders around us, not only in Gaston County, but all over. And that also includes abortion, which is in the news almost every day. Another issue floats to my mind has to do with paying taxes. Most people grunt, they don't like to do that. But if they are being used to help the poor and the needy, well, that's a good thing, right? The question I ask in the middle of all this, and that was a really short list that I made, in the middle of all this that's happening in life, are we turning to the truth of Jesus Christ? Are we turning to the truth of Jesus where true life is found? That's where true life is. True life is in Jesus. So as that's on your mind, let me just say, well, let's refer back to verse 5 at the end of the passage. Verse 5 says, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So then what he's saying is share the good news and do a good job at it. Being sober, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to have a beer. It means keep your mind clear. Have clear thinking so that you are able to share Jesus with another person. He also mentions endure suffering. Do you have to suffer to tell somebody about Jesus? Well, I will just share with you, and you've probably been here too. When I've shared faith with an unbeliever before, sometimes they've kind of hit back on me. That's suffering. Suffering for telling somebody about Jesus. Sometimes non-believers will mock us when we try to share the good news. So that's what he's talking about. Endure suffering. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Well, that's what he's telling us. Tell somebody about Jesus. That's what this is about. We are equipped to do that as we are his messengers. So what I wanted to do was just kind of go through this second reading today from 2 Timothy, hit on a few points, and give you something to take home today, some takeaways. So let me just name quickly some takeaways for today. One, God breathed out his word to us, and we can breathe it in because it is inspired, okay? And as we breathe in God's word into our hearts and our minds, we can know this. It's God's intent, it's God's desire, and it's his gospel, which means good news for us. So you can do all, receive it in that way, and be saved eternally. And there's only one way to be saved into eternal life with God. Only one way, and that's by having faith in his son, Jesus. And he tells us, share that message with others so that they too can be saved. Okay? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word that shapes us, for your living word that gives us life, for your Holy Spirit that guides us into your ways and out into the world sharing your ways. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.